Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation from the gospel reading for today. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Mark chapter 7, verse 5. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, what is this tradition of the elders that the Pharisees are asking Jesus about? The short answer is, it is a fence. It is a fence. How do you keep your little kids or your grandkids from away from the swimming pool? Let's say some of them don't know how to swim yet. So what do you do? Do you say, "Kids, stay away from the pool unless I'm there with you," and then leave it at that? Is that all it takes? That's not enough. So in addition to the command to stay away, you also set up a fence around the pool so that they can't get near enough to the pool to disobey your command. You have the command, you also have the fence. How do you keep your little kid from running up to the baby rhinoceros at the Garden City Zoo and petting him on the nose? Do you say, "Kids, don't pet the rhinoceros," and leave it at that? Is that enough? That is not enough, not for some kids. So in addition to the command to stay away, there is also a fence around the rhino so your kids can't get near enough to disobey your command. One of the purposes of a fence is to keep you from getting to where you don't belong. This was the logic that predominated among the religious leaders in the centuries leading up to the time of Jesus. Generation by generation, the religious leaders had become more and more concerned about religious purity. The way to a right relationship with God was by being a pure people, a people who kept God's law perfectly as given in the Old Testament. So what did the religious leaders do? Did they say, "Fellow Israelites, you need to obey God's law. You need to not worship idols and remember the Sabbath and honor your parents and not steal"? Was that enough? They decided that that was not enough. So in addition to God's commands, they added a fence. They made more commandments, more rules, more regulations, so that you couldn't come anywhere near disobeying one of God's laws. This fence, this set of rules, was called the tradition of the elders. A long list of extra rules and regulations. These were not in the Bible. These were in addition to the Bible to keep you from disobeying anything that is in the Bible. It acted as a fence around God's law. So if God's law says, "Don't do this," then the tradition of the elders added multiple additional laws around that law so that you couldn't even come near to disobeying what God said not to do. So, for example, God's law says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." How do you do that exactly? The tradition of the elders told you how to do that exactly. Rules and regulations for following the Sabbath, some of which could be very nitpicky. Very nitpicky. For example, on the Sabbath, according to the tradition of the elders, now, this is not in the Bible, on the Sabbath, a woman was not allowed to look at herself in a mirror. Why not? Tradition of the elders said, because she might spot a gray hair and yank it out. Yanking out hair is a form of work. If you're working, then you're no longer resting on the Sabbath like you're supposed to. The command not to look in the mirror was a fence to keep you away from the larger commandment to remember the Sabbath day. Another example, there was no climbing of trees on the Sabbath, not even for fun. Why not? Because you might break a twig. And breaking a twig from a tree is a lot like reaping or harvesting. It is a form of work. If you're working, you're not resting on the Sabbath like you're supposed to. One more example. There was no putting water in a vase of flowers on the Sabbath. Because watering is a lot like sowing a crop. And sowing crops is a form of work, so can't do it on the Sabbath. This tradition of the elders was a fence around God's law to keep people from disobeying God's law. But as you can tell from today's gospel reading, over the years, over the centuries, as this tradition was built up more and more, this fence around God's law had become very complicated and confusing. There were so many rules to keep track of. Sometimes the rules contradicted each other. Sometimes the leaders changed the rules because there was a new interpretation. Sometimes the rules were self-serving rather than God-serving. Sometimes the rules actually contradicted the spirit of the law that they were trying to protect. You had an example of that in today's gospel reading where Jesus criticized the way that people would use the tradition of the elders to hold back some of their money for themselves, and they would say, this money belongs to God. It is Corban. I have declared that it belongs to God. That means even if my parents need help in their old age, I can't help them. Tradition of the elders says I can't. Jesus says that's nonsense. That's nonsense. In general, perhaps the worst thing of all is that these rules had a tendency to cause people either to take pride in themselves, where they would be saying to themselves, look at how perfectly I'm keeping all these rules, or it might lead them to the opposite, which is despair, as they would say, I will never be able to keep all of these rules. So there's this tradition of the elders. And here come the Pharisees to observe Jesus. And they want to check, is Jesus being faithful to the tradition of the elders? Well, it didn't take long for them to note that the disciples were not in line with this tradition. They had crossed over the fence. How did they do that? They didn't wash their hands before they ate. The tradition of the elders said you have to wash your hands before eating. And of course we would agree with them, but we do it because of hygiene. But that's not what they were concerned about. They didn't care. They didn't know about hygiene. For them, it was a matter of religious purity. This was another fence around God's law. In the Old Testament, God's law says priests, when they're going to offer a sacrifice, must wash their hands before carrying out the sacrifice. But then the tradition of the elders expanded upon that and added to that so that by the time Jesus arrives, everyone was required to wash their hands in all kinds of different circumstances. So the Pharisees say, Jesus, your disciples, they're eating. They did not wash their hands before they ate. They've broken the tradition. They're not setting a good example. And how did Jesus respond? You heard him in the gospel reading. He pushed back. Quoting the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, today's Old Testament reading, Jesus said, you people honor God with your mouth, but your hearts aren't honoring God at all. Your worship, your service to God is a joke because you're replacing God's commandments with your own made-up teachings. In other words, these Pharisees are so obsessed with keeping up outward appearances when it comes to the law, but God isn't impressed with outward purity. God wants your heart. Not that outward purity is wrong or bad, it can be very good, but if it's not in keeping with, if it's not consistent with your heart, then it means nothing to God. Of course, the Pharisees didn't appreciate this criticism at all. And from then on, as you continue reading in Mark, you'll notice that they're working very hard, the Pharisees are, to silence Jesus. And they plotted against him, and they had him ultimately arrested and falsely tried and crucified. But you know also the rest of that story, because on the third day, just as he had promised he would do, and exactly as the scriptures had foretold, including the prophet Isaiah, Jesus rose from the grave. That resurrection confirmed that Jesus' work was finished, that he had accomplished what he had come to accomplish. Jesus had lived a perfect life under the law in your place. Jesus had resisted every temptation that Satan had placed before him. Jesus had conquered even our final enemy, which is death itself. And because Jesus did all these things, we who believe and trust in him, we know and we have the gifts of forgiveness and new life. Your sins are paid for. Even death has been overcome for you. Satan has been defeated for you. And now, in that victory for you, by faith in Jesus who saved you, you know that you are loved. You know it not because you necessarily feel loved all the time. You know it because the Bible says so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know that God loves you. In Christ, God has your heart. And from that new and clean and loved heart, you and I get to go and love God and love others as he first loved us. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be like the tradition of the elders. The Pharisees, again, they had these long, confusing, detailed lists of rules to follow. But Jesus summarized God's law very simply. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And he added, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 22. Jesus said, "On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." For Jesus, love was the basis of everything that God did toward humankind. And love should be reflected in everything that man does toward God and toward others. So, as you are considering an action, whatever it might be, should I do this? Should I not do this? Ask yourself this. Keep it simple. Ask yourself this. Is this action a loving thing to do for my neighbor? Does it help my neighbor? Does it build him up? And ask yourself this, again, keeping it simple. Is this action I'm about to take a loving thing toward God? Is it in line with his will? Does it give God glory? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14 says, "Let all that you do be done in love." Put your heart in it. Love as you have been loved. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.